We're holding on Chofes Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom, by the 2 dots. We said in the Mishnah that if a person's jug of water broke in Rosh Hashanah and somebody else slipped on the water or got injured by the broken pieces of earthenware, so the Tanakhama said he's chayev regardless. The Tanakhama being, as usual, a mayor, because Stam Mishnah and a mayor. We discussed yesterday in the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, what the scenario is over here, that Rav would say where he made them hefker, then yeah, it's considered burr, but otherwise it's considered his mamon, and therefore you'd have a difference of whether where he himself kept ownership of it, then we would not say that he's chayev for somebody's clothes getting dirty over there because of burr, you're not chayev for kaven. And then we had, so we had Rav saying that when he dropped it in Rosh Hashanah and wasn't mafker it, Rav was saying he's chayev for both the nizakim of the person and of the kelim. He's chayev for the kelim, but he's potter for the person because the person himself, Rav says, after all, banged himself on the ground, and that's karka olam, and Rav says he's potter for that. The water that he slipped on is only a groma. So the chayev, according to Rav, in that case would be only for the clothes if they got dirty. And then according to Shmuel, it would be the other way around. He's potter for the kalim because it's a burr, and he's chayev for the person because Shmuel doesn't hold this concept of karka olam, hazikasu. He holds that, it's because he tripped over it's because he slipped on the water, and therefore you have to be mechayev, the person who spilled the water. Now, then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the miskaven chayev fuller, that Rabbi Yehuda says it depends whether he had kavana. Now, what kind of kavana are we talking about? So, heifidam miskaven, what kind of kavana is enough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to make him chayev? Omer Rabba, miskaven lahurid lamata miksefei. Doesn't mean that he intended to break it. It means that he intended to take the jug off his shoulder, and then by mistake, and then he tripped, and then he tripped is the scenario that Rashi says, and therefore he dropped the jug and it broke. So that would be the case because now we're going to talk about off and on throughout the parak the question of nitkal pesheahu or nitkal lav pesheahu. When a person trips, do we consider that pesheah? Do we consider that carelessness as opposed to a real onus, and therefore we can be mechayev of him, or do we consider it a real onus? Now, Tosfos has said several times, and they say here in the sugya as well, that a person is in fact potter for nizikin when it's a real, full-fledged onus. They talk about that in the previous parak, and they mention it over here also. Not all Rishonim agree with that, and in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it's not brought that way, and according to them, even in the case of an onus, nevertheless, we're still being mechayev of him for what happens as a result of that onus. Anyway, so the question is, throughout the parak, we have the question, nitkal pesheahu or nitkal lav pesheahu? Can we consider a person who tripped to be a pesheah, to be careless? He should have watched where he was going to the extent that he won't cause a hezek to somebody else. As we've learned before, Tosfos says that a person has more of a responsibility to make sure that he doesn't cause a hezek than to make sure that he himself is not the nizek. So if we say nitkal pesheahu, then you have a reason to say that he was careless and therefore you should be mechayev of him. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that because nitkal pesheahu, he should have paid attention where he's going and therefore you can be mechayev of him. The fact that now he tripped and therefore caused a barrier in Rosh Hashanah, caused an obstacle in Rosh Hashanah by the water that he spilled and the broken pieces of earthenware, we can hold him responsible for that. But if the jug fell ba'onus, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that he's potter. If it fell off his shoulder on its own. Abaya says, Biklaud Mechayev Rameya Afilu Nipshira. Do you mean to say that Rameya would be Mechayev him regardless? Even if the jug melted, in other words, even if you have an absolute onus that never could have been foreseen, like all of a sudden just the jug melts away and therefore you have all the water spills on the ground, would Rameya then say that he's Chayev even in that case? And the answer is MLA. So Rabbi says, yes, ain't, yes, b'chayim hoyer amer, afilo ozna b'yodoy. In fact, Reb Meir would be mechayev him, even, yeah, literally if the whole jug melted away. Now, that's not something that you would even ever expect with Derech HaTeva, and all he has left is the handle of the jug. Nevertheless, you can be mechayev him. So the Gemara says, am I? Onusu. Isn't he in that case an onus? V'onus rachmona patre. And we have the general rule that the Torah patters a person in a case of onus. As you have the famous dechtivel anaral esasa dover, because you have the pasuk in connection with a girl who were in connection with a naira hamayrasa who was raped, where the Torah tells us that if it was out in the field and she was nobody available to help her, then you punish, you execute the guy who did it, but you don't do anything to her. Well, anaral esasa dover, because it was a case of onus, only in the case where it was in the city and she could have cried out for help, etc. Then that's different. The point is, we learn that onus rachmona patre. So in that case, why over here would be mechayevim according to the mayor? So you're going to think to answer that maybe the difference is that's as far as killing a person. You don't kill, you know, like in that case, you don't execute the girl when there's a matter of oinus. But when it comes to nizokin, maybe you would say that when it comes to nizokin, you would say that he's chayev, even by oinus. But we learn in a brisa. Nishbara kadoi v'loi silkoi. If a person's jug broke and he didn't take away the broken pieces, or nafal gmaloi v'loi hamidoi, or his camel fell down and he didn't pick it back up, and now it fell down, let's say, and it died, and now the carcass of it is lying there in Rosh Hashanah, and it's a birth. People or things can trip over. People or animals can trip over it. Reb Meir mechayev behezek and Racham poterin. Reb Meir says he's chayev in the hezek, and the Racham say he's poter. So you see that even in a case of nizokin, Reb Meir is patering him because it's an onus. Nishbara, it broke on its own. Not that he tripped necessarily, So in fact, Tosfos points out. I mean, so you have in the Mishnah as well. What you have is that when the Mishnah says somebody slipped on the water, so it's kind of an indirect thing, and yet the mayor is being machayev him in the Mishnah. Here the mayor machayev bezek, and so the mayor is saying he's chayev. So fine, the mayor would say that he's chayev regardless. Now the Chum say he's potter from Dine Odom. You can't take him to Beis Din for it. He is Chayev the Dine Shemayim, meaning that if he wants to be Yotze, if he wants to be Yotze from Hashem's punishment, then he should be paying and compensating the other person. And the Braisa continues. And the Chachamim do agree with the mayor when you have, you put a stone or a knife or a load on top of the roof, and they fell down in a normal wind and they caused damage, they would agree to Chayev, that he's Chayev, because in that case then, that's Shia, because if it could fall down from the edge of the roof in normal wind, then he shouldn't do that.
Kishma would get with the gumball on the floor. So yes, right away when it happens, he can.
We'll talk about time. We'll get to that soon. Omoded a mayor the rabbanon, but mala kankanin ala gaga manaskim nagvan. On the other hand, the mayor agrees with the chachamim when you have a case where a person takes barrels up to, which were made out of earthenware, to his roof, intending to dry them. You make them when you bring them out. They're not so strong. They're still a little soft after they come out of the oven. So you take them up there to dry out in the sun for a while. And they fell down in an unusual wind. That then he's potter, because then it's a ruach she'enu metzuya. So therefore he's an onus. So we see that a mayor is pottering him when it comes to nizokin, even when it's an onus. Now, this is what Tosfos was saying before, that in the Mishnah, we're talking about he didn't directly cause the hezek, and yet the mayor is being mechayev of him in the Mishnah for whatever happened because somebody slipped in the water. Whereas here we're saying that the mayor even though, as we just said, Rabbi was just saying, you can have a case even where the keli melted away, and you have no, and therefore the water spilled out on its own, and still the mayor him is being mechayev of him, whereas over here, in the case of these kankanim, the mayor is pottering him. So why is that? Why are the Chachamim talking about Avnei Sakinim Asoi, and Reb Meir is talking about Kankanim? So the idea is because a person, each one of them is talking about a normal situation. The Chachamim are dealing with a case. A person puts Avnei Sakini or Masai on top of his roof. He doesn't mind so much if they fall down. Therefore, he should have thought, well, he doesn't care, so they'll fall down. Big deal. No concern of mine. The Avnei is not necessarily going to smash. The Sakini is not necessarily going to smash. The Masai depends, I guess, what the Masa is. The point is, in other words, that Sakini means a knife.
Oh,
yeah. So those kinds of things, he doesn't mind so much if it falls in a Ruach Mitzuya. So therefore, we can say he was careless to put them there in the first place. As opposed to the Kankanim, he specifically puts them in a place where they're not going to fall down in a Ruach Mitzuya, although because otherwise that defeats the whole purpose. He wants to bring them up there to dry out so he can use them. Yeah. So therefore, it's more normal that he's going to put them further back from the edge of the roof, and only in the case of a Ruach She'ena Mitzuya is it going to knock them down. So that's why each of them uses that scenario. Anyway, the point is, So what do we learn from this braisa? So the Chachamim, and usually when we have Chachamim disagreeing with the mayor, it usually means Rabbi Yehuda. So it should have to fit with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that only if Miskaven, and he said he intended to take the jug off his shoulder and then he tripped and broke it, then we would be Machayev him. But the Chachamim are saying any time he puts something down with Pshia, then he's Chayev. So that would include the case where he put things on the edge of his roof and he was careless because he should have thought they were going to fall down with Ruach Mitzuya. On the other hand, when it comes to a real onus, Nishbara Kadeh or Nofel Gmalai, then the Chachamim are pattering him because they say he's part of the Dini Adam, B'chayev B'din Shemayim. Meanwhile, Rav Meir is saying that Rameyer is saying that when it's a true onus, then he agrees that you're potter only when you tripped or when your jug broke or whatever. So then we can talk about whether you're a pesheya. So yeah, you're talking about as far as removing the takala. Obviously, we have to give him a couple of minutes to clean up the earthenware or to remove the gummel. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if afterwards he doesn't do it. So that's what the Gemara is going to say now. So the point is, in other words, you can't just say that the Machloikas, the Meir, and the Chachamim in our Mishnah is only about one case where it broke Ba'onis, because if it was Ba'onis, we just said in this Braisa that the Meir says he's Potter. And again, since that's the thing. The Gemara itself is going to point out that you have over here two machlokas, and before when it first fell and afterwards, we're going to deal with two different machlokas. But Tosfos does point out that also the implication is that so far it sounds like Rav Meir is saying that he's machayev him no matter what, even if he didn't have time to remove it. The moment he drops the jug and the pieces. And the jug breaks and the water spills, it sounds like the mayor is machayev immediately, and the same thing with the camel and everything else, even if he didn't have time to schlep it away yet. Elo, I'm going to buy the tauti, please. Abaye says you should know, the mayor and Rabbi Yehuda are actually arguing on two different cases. Pligi b'shas nefilo, pligi la'acha nefilo. The first machloikas is about what happens the moment that the thing falls. In other words, if it caused damage as it's falling. So you could have, for example, that the jug fell on somebody or on something and hurt him. And then you have also, that would also include, now Tosfos discusses over here some details of the sugya at some length over here in the first Tosfos over here, Pligi. And one thing they point out is now that based on what Abaye is saying, it comes out that it would be even when we say b'shas nefila, we do also include the amount of time that it takes him to clean it up. Any time that he didn't have the chance, of not so different than what we said before, now we're saying that no, as long as he didn't have the chance to clean it up, it's still called shas nefila. Anyway, so that's the first one. Opligi la'acha nefila, they're also arguing what happens later on after it fell, meaning after he had the time to clean it up and he hasn't done that. Pligi b'shas nefila b'nitkal pesheya. The machlokas about when it first falls is whether he's a pesheya by tripping in the first place. Should he have paid attention to where he's walking and then he wouldn't have tripped in the first place? Now, we did learn yesterday, we had the opinion that Ein Dakin Shemnei Adam is Bein Vadrachim, But nevertheless, the fact is, since he wasn't misbonin b'drachim, and he fell and then tripped and broke his jug, then can we be machayev him on the ground that it wasn't a complete oinus? In other words, when we said before, for example, Rav Meir would patter him when he put the jugs to dry on his roof and they fell off the ruach sheina matzuya, that's a full-fledged oinus, and Rav Meir would patter him for that. But nitkal, Rav Meir would say, is not really a full-fledged oinus.
The guy wanted to fall. Take a chance for breaking his leg.
He didn't want to fall. And Peshea doesn't necessarily mean that he did it deliberately. It just means that he wasn't careful enough. In fact, we're assuming. We're assuming that a nitkal means that there was a certain degree of pshia over here. He could have been more careful. In fact, the Rashba says this explicitly. When we say nitkal Peshea, he just means it's not to the extent of an oinus. Now the Nemuka Yosef disagrees with that and says, and so the nafkamina between them would be by a shem mechinam. We know a shem mechinam is chayev for something only for pshia. If he tripped and dropped it, would and it broke, would that be enough to be mechayev him? There you need full fledged pshia for him to be chayev. So you'd have the machlokas of the Rashba and the Nemuka Yosef whether he's chayev in that case. Anyway, but for our purpose over here, so the mayor holds nitkal pesheahu, the very fact that he tripped is a pshia, and therefore we have a ground to be machayev him, therefore, for what happened at the time when if the jug banged into something and then broke it or into someone or injured him or whatever. Omar Sovan Nitka Lav Peshayahu, Rabbi Yehuda meanwhile holds that Nitkal is not Peshaya, because, like we said before, people don't always look where they're going. So therefore, even if it fell, so even Bashas Nefila, it fell, then Rabbi Yehuda is still going to pat to him. Rav Meir will say he's chayev because nitkal pesheah. Rav Yehuda will say he's potter because nitkal lav pesheah. And pligi la'acha nefila. Furthermore, also they're arguing when afterwards the mafkir nizakav, the machloikas would be when he was mafkir the nezek, meaning in other words he decided, you know what, I'm not going to bother picking up these broken pieces. I'm just going to leave them here in Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Meir is going to hold that he's chayev for that, because after all, what is a burr? The definition of a burr is that you dug it in Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah doesn't belong to you, and you're chayev for it. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda holds that when is the case of burr that you're chayev is where hifkir reshusay v'loy hifkir burray. You were mafkir the reshus. You dug a burr in your own reshus, for example, and then you said, you know what, the people of Rosh Hashanah can use this area, but you weren't mafkir the burr, so you still retain ownership of the burr. This is, we talked about this in the previous perek, and Rashi points out over here, there's actually machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva on exactly that point. So Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are following suit on the machloikas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What the scenario is, does he actually own the burr or does he not? So that would be the Nakamina, would be over here. Does he, if we say he doesn't own the earthenware shards because he decided he's going to be mafkir with them, can you be mechayev him for them or not? So given that, so in other words, so Rabbi Yehuda would say, what does miskaven of our Mishnah mean then? Rashi points out, it would be different than what we said before. Before, Rabbi was saying miskaven would just mean he intended to shift it from one position to another, and then he dropped it. So in other words, there was an intention to move it, and therefore we can hold him responsible because he should have been more careful when he's moving it that it doesn't break. Now though, based on Abaye's answer, we're saying that no, Rabbi Yehuda means that miskaven of Rabbi Yehuda means he actually intended to break it. Then Rabbi Yehuda would say that he's chayev when it breaks as it falls. When it damages as it falls, and then he would be mechayev him afterwards, and then he would be mechayev him afterwards as well. But ein miskaven, if he only tripped and broke it that way, then he would say potter because nitkal lav pesheah, and therefore if it damages as it's falling, because he tripped, then Rabbi Yehuda would patter him, because he'd say nitkalav pesheahu. And as far as the shards, again, it depends whether he was mafkir them or not. Well, the point is, in other words, because in this case, the fact that it fell in the first place was not completely his fault. Rabbi Yehuda holds nitkalav pesheahu. If he had deliberately gone and put broken pieces of earthenware in the street, sure, you can be mechayev him for that, because he had no right to put them there in the first place. But here we're going to talk about here we're talking about where to begin with, it wasn't, he hadn't done anything wrong, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in that these things got there in the first place.
Yeah, but if you fall and you break something, you clean it up.
He should clean it up, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you can't necessarily be mechayev him on the grounds of Burr to say that that if he doesn't clean it up, you can be mechayev him for whatever happens, not necessarily. So there'll be two machlokes in. Umimai, and where do we see that, how do we see what Abaye is saying that there were actually two machlokes in implied in the Mishnah? Mitkotani Tauti, because the Mishnah, after all, had mentioned two scenarios. The Mishnah had said, Huchlak Echad Bamayim, if somebody else slipped on the water, Oshaloka Bacharsis, or he got injured by the broken pieces of earthenware. Now you have to ask, why do we need two cases? Hainu ha, isn't it basically the same thing? Ela lav hochikama. Evidently, the Mishnah means to say, "Huchlak echad b'mayim b'shas nefila." If one person slipped on the water when it fell, so as the water was falling, somebody slipped on it, or as Tosfos says, "Shas nefila" also includes where he didn't have a chance to clean it up yet. So the water was lying there on the ground; he didn't even have a chance to clean it up yet, and already somebody came by and slipped on it. Oishalokah b'charsis la'achar nefila. Or where the other person got injured by the broken pieces after they had already fallen down, and he hadn't taken the time to clean them up yet. In fact, Tosfos says, you know, when you get down to it, a person is more usually going to be mafkir the cheres, the earthenware. He's not necessarily going to be mafkir the water, because it depends. If it's soft ground, sure, it sinks into the ground right away, but then nobody's going to slip on it. If it's a place where he can recollect the water, he might do that because, okay, he won't use the water for drinking, or use it for washing clothes, or use it for his animals, or whatever, but he's not necessarily, he put in a lot of effort into collecting this water. He's going to try to recollect it if at all possible. So it's true. Tosfos said the Gemara could have said it the other way around, that the water somebody slipped on afterwards in the charosim as they fell, but usually a person is more likely to be mafkir the cheres than the water.
Iron cheres could be used for a lot of little things.
Pieces of cheres can also be used for a lot of things, but still the person might say that he can't be bothered. The fact that the Mishnah mentions both of those things indicates that in fact you have two different cases where the mayor and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing. And the Gemara says, Umi de Masnissin Batarti. Now, given that the Mishnah then was saying, was talking about two cases, Braisa Nami Batarti. Okay, then we have to say that the Braisa also must be talking about two cases. The Braisa that we brought at the bottom of the previous Amun, Mishpat Kadeh V'lo Sokai, where his jug broke and he didn't take away, and he didn't take it, didn't clean it up. Or Nofla Gmale V'lo Hamid, or his camel fell down and he didn't move it. Then, so we have to assume that also we're talking about two cases, one b'shas nefila and one after. Well, the question is, b'shlema kadei mashkachos la'i b'shas nefila oi la'acha nefila, the jug, it's easy enough to find that you can have the machlokas whether somebody was injured by it as it's falling or afterwards. Ela gmalei. But when it comes to the camel, what is the scenario exactly? B'shlema la'acha nefila mashkachos la. After the camel fell, then it's easy enough to say, but mafkir nevelosa, you can have the case where he decided to be mafkir the dead, where he decided to be mafkir the dead animal. So in other words, he decided, you know what, my camel died in Rosh Hashanah, fine, you know what, I can't be bothered. I'm just going to leave it there. And then somebody else came and tripped over it. So Tosfos adds, given again that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it has to be to begin with that the falling was b'pshia in order to be mechayev him in the first place, because otherwise he said nitka lav p'shia, then we'd have to be talking about where to begin with there was a certain p'shia in taking the animal in a place where there was a concern that it's going to fall down. So in other words, it fell down and died, but in other words, the point is it died from the fall, and it was the fall itself is what killed it. So we'd have to be talking about, Tosfos says that he took it to a place where it's a bit of a dangerous road, and the camel might well trip and fall there, and he took it over there, so therefore there's a pshia to begin with, and therefore we can be mechayev him afterwards for not removing the dead animal. What about when the animal is falling? How do you have, whether nitkal pesheya or nitkal lav pesheya, on the face of it, though, if the animal trips, then you can't, you can say nitkal pesheya in the sense that he should be looking where he's going, but how can you say that about his animal? So what do we mean? That the Braisa is saying they're arguing in both cases where it says Rameyer Machayim and Macham say Potim Din Anu Machayim Din Shemayim. In order to say that they're arguing on both cases, you have to say, like we said, that we're talking about that either it damaged as it's falling or it damaged after it fell because somebody tripped over it. But with the Gummel, how do you have the first case? How do you have where it's damaging as it's falling and you're going to be chayev if the animal trips and then causes injury? Then you can't, the fact that the animal tripped is an onus for you.
You know, it's falling on someone.
It's even if it fell on someone. Yeah. It's an onus for you. Tosfos actually wonders why does the Gemara have to assume that both cases work by both the jug and the gummel? Why don't we just say that the Nishbara Kada is talking about that it damaged while it's falling, and the Nafla Gemala is talking about afterwards, just like in the Mishnah. Abaya was saying that the water is talking about right away, and the Necheres is talking about afterwards. And they said that it's one thing a person is more likely to make his broken pieces of Cheres Hefker, rather than the dead body of the animal. That actually has more use. You can use it for animal food or something. So therefore, he's less likely to be mastered of that. Another point is the expression nafla kade v'loy silka. Tosfos points out can mean that v'loy silka, even afterwards when he had a chance to remove it, he didn't remove it, and then it caused damage. So then, at least in the case of the jug, you have to say that there are two possibilities, because by the jug itself, you have to be talking about also where it can injure when it's falling, because and then you have the machlokes nitkal pesheya or lav pesheya. So at least by the jug, we have both of them. So therefore, we should assume that by the camel also, it means you have both possibilities.
How we have the possibility?
So that's the question. How do we have the possibility with the camel? That's what we have to figure out. Amr of Acha, Rav Acha says, the case is, Kigun de Obra Bamaya, Derech Sarata de Nara. The case would be, where to begin with, he took the camel in a place where the river is larger than normal. So you have, in other words, Sarata actually relates to the word Sarua Vakolu, which means an animal where you have various paired limbs in the body, like eyes and hands and feet and whatever. If you have an animal where one of those is bigger than the other, then it's considered a mum, the Torah, and the Torah calls it Sarua. So we see that the word the Shurish Sara, Sin Reish Ayin, means bigger. So here we're talking about the river is bigger and flooding more than usual, and therefore it's covering the road. So the case is over here, he took his camel on that road anyway. Well, that was careless of him. There might be obstacles on the road, which had the road not been covered with water, then he and the camel would easily see them and detour around them. And like this, because it's covered with water, they didn't see it, and therefore he didn't see it, and therefore the animal was more likely to trip. So Rameo is going to say, that therefore there was Shia over here, and therefore you have the Gemara asks, well, what's the scenario exactly? Hechidami, idi ikadavkachrena, are we talking about there was another route available that he could have used? Pesheahu. Well, then he's a real Pesheah. Then it's not even a question of nitkal Pesheah. Then to begin with, even Rabbi Yehuda, on the face of it, would argue that that's Shia, that he got himself into such a situation in the first place. The idolekta dakdachrin, and if there was no other road to go, onusu, then it's an onus. So then the mayor should agree that he's potter, because we said before, the mayor potter is in a case of full-fledged onus. Ela mashkachasla, no, rather the case would be the atkil vakila begamla. The person himself tripped first. The person himself, he was walking ahead of the donkey on a dry road. We're not talking anymore sarata dinana. We're talking about that he was walking in front of the camel. He tripped, and then the camel tripped over him, and then the camel died. So now Rameo is going to say nitkal pesheya. So therefore, the whole thing, the whole chain of events, started out with a pshia of his. Again, like we said before, maybe not a full-fledged pshia, but at least you can't call it onus, according to the mayor. So therefore, that's enough to be mechayev him. And according to the chachamim, so therefore, whether the camel injured somebody as it was falling, or whether afterwards we didn't clean up the carcass, either way, the mayor is going to be mechayev him. Rabbi Yehuda, meanwhile, is going to say chachamim in the braisa, which is Rabbi Yehuda, is going to say, meanwhile, that nitka lav pesheya, so therefore, so you can't, You can't be mechayev him for what happened as a result of his tripping, because that to begin with was an oynas nitkalav pesheya, and therefore the fact that the animal tripped over him and fell and died, you can't be mechayev him for what happens as the animal is falling. Later on, you're going to have the question whether he was machduit or not.
The word nitkal means
the word nitkal means tripped. Yeah.
It doesn't say if it's pesheya or not. If it's mistaken, he was
so nitkal pesheya, who means, in other words, that there was a certain degree of carelessness involved.
Pesheya, who I understand, but right. The word nitkal itself.
The word nitkal itself means tripped.
It doesn't mean either way.
Okay. So then that explains. So that explains how in the Braisa, how we can make it work according to both of them. And the Gemara says, what about Machdun Chos of Mayim Skavanika? So when we say, now Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah had used the expression that Miskaven, his Chayav, in Miskaven, his Potter. So now we've established, according to Abaya, again, Miskaven means that to begin with, he intended to break it, or he did something which is tantamount to intending to do it. Like we just said, for example, there could be walking in a way where there's a high likelihood that he's going to trip, and then he or his camel or whatever trip. But, so then Rabbi Yehuda would be Mechayavim. But now, so we said that in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about two cases. One where it caused damage as it was falling, or shortly afterwards, as Tosfos said, before you had a chance to clean it up. And the other one is that the other one where it caused damage later on, where he didn't clean it up, and so he had time to clean it up, and he didn't, and somebody came and tripped over it. So, when we talk about that he's mafkir the pieces, and he's saying, you know what, I'm not going to bother cleaning it up. What is the miskaven? What exactly do we mean by miskaven by that? Given that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you mafkir, Rabbi Yehuda holds, we just said before, that if you mafkir your burr when you had a certain right to create that burr in the first place, then you're in fact not chayav. Rabbi Yehuda had said, only hifkir reshusay v'loy hifkir burr. If you dug a burr in your reshus, and then you said, you know what, this reshus I'm leaving for the bnei reshus adabim, but I'm keeping the burr for myself, that's when Rabbi Yehuda would be machayav. So then in that case, then applying that to this case, he has the right to that extent for his broken pieces of earthenware to be on the ground because he fell in the first place, and nikalav hashaya. So if we're talking about that he was mafkir, the nizokim, then what is the miskaven that Rabbi Yehuda would say? When he's miskaven, then he's chayav. He's mafkir the nizokim, then Rabbi Yehuda is partnering him. So the answer is, the case is where he intends to reacquire the charosim. He doesn't, in other words, miskaven means that he doesn't plan to be machter, that he's not machter them. To begin with, he dropped the jug, it broke. Now there are broken pieces of earthenware all over the place. And like you said a minute ago, a person can use such things. So he decides, you know what, I'm going to keep them, I'm not machter them after all. Well, if he's not mafkir, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mafkir. Then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mechayev, because that's according to him the classic case of burr, where you're not mafkir your burr and you're still chayev. So b'chein amar Rav Ashi, the miskaven lezakas b'charaseh, Rav Ashi gave the same answer. So that would be because he intends to keep the charosim, so he wasn't mafkir them in the first place. That's why Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev him for any injury that's caused by them afterwards. If he had been mafkir them, then given that he had a certain right to have them in Rosh Hashanah in the first place because he tripped and nitkalav pesheya, then Rabbi Yehuda would takapater him if somebody else trips over them. It would be, of course, the right thing to do would be for him to clean him up, but Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be mechayev him if he doesn't. On the other hand, Rabbi Lozer Omer b'shas nefila machloitz. On the other hand, Rabbi Lozer says that no. So what do we have so far? We started with Rabba's understanding of the machloitz that they're only arguing in one case, and the case is where he didn't intend to, where he just tripped and then where he just tripped and dropped the jug, and the machloitz is nitkal pesheya or nitkal lav pesheya. Then we said that doesn't really work. That doesn't really work on the basis of a braisa, on the basis of a braisa of nishbara kadoi. because then you're telling me Reb Meir would be mechayev him no matter what, even if he didn't, not Nitka Pashaya. Rabba's distinction was, is he intending to move the jug, to shift it from one position to another, and was saying Reb Meir would be mechayev him even if he didn't intend to shift it, even if it just melted away on his shoulder. We said that doesn't work because we said Reb Meir is mechayev, is partying in a case of complete oiness. So then we had a Abaye's explanation that we just went through that says that they're arguing in two cases. They're arguing what happens b'shas nefila, and they're arguing about what happens la'acha nefila. So then we said, so b'shas nefila, the machloekas is nital p'sheya, nital lav p'sheya, and la'acha nefila, the machloekas is what happens if he's machdu it. Rabbi Yehuda is going to partu him. Reb Meir says it doesn't matter, even if you machdu it, you're still chaf. In connection with the whole sugya over here, the Maharshal brings a couple of things from what he calls from Tosfos Aruchim, from a longer version of Tosfos that give more dimensions on what the Gemara is saying over here. So when we have, we talked about before, the Chachamim and Reb Meir, about Avnei Sakini or Masoi, that if they fell off Beruach Metzuya their Chayev, that would be, the Chachamim would have to be saying, that only when they were causing damage, B'shas Nefila, and where he wasn't Masker them, because a person is probably not going to be Masker his Sakini or Masoi. After all, if they only injured afterwards when he was mafkir them, then we said that so Marshal learns actually over here based on these Tosfos Aruchim, all this time we've been saying that if he's mafkir is nizokim after he tripped with Nikolav Koshea and he's potter, the Marshal learns over here, brings from this Tosfos Aruchim, that no, actually even if he dropped it with Pshia, nevertheless, if he was mafkirit, then Rabbi Yehuda would still hold his potter, because again, Rabbi Yehuda holds to be chayav for a bird has to be that you own it. Like he said, hifkir reshusay v'lo hifkir bird, where you own the reshus, you don't own the reshus around it anymore, but you still own the bird itself. Because he was mafkir the area around it, but he kept the bird itself. But if he's mafkir the bird, Rabbi Yehuda holds his potter. Well, by the same token, if he's mafkir the pieces, it doesn't matter. All this time we've been saying that it's only when he tripped, and because nitkalav pesheya. But now, based on what Marshal was saying, it comes out that actually, even if he had dropped it, even if he had deliberately dropped it, or even in the case of Avnei Sakini or Masoi, where they fell off the ruach metzuya, which we're saying is pshia, if he was mafkir them, now it's not usual to be mafkir Sakini or Masoi, but if he did, then nevertheless, it'd still be potter, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're never chayav for a bird unless you actually own it. And meanwhile, with the kankanim over there, we had the case over there of the kankanim that were up on top of the roof. So then we're talking about that. He was mafter them, and Rabbi Yehuda would say, Rabbi Meir rather would say, if he wasn't mafter them, then actually he would be chayav because he still should have removed it. We still should have expected him to remove it, and the fact that he didn't, we can be mechayav him for that. That's how Marshal learns, and then Marshal has a bigger arichos on it, discussing various ins and outs of that, and disagreeing with certain details of that. Are we in fact always pattering him when we say that when it fell off the ruach she'ena metzuya, are we always going to be mechayev him according to the mayor, are we always going to patter him according to the Yehuda, etc. So they get into a long arichos about various ins and outs of that. Anyway, so now Rabbi Loza says, I have a different answer to explain the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The machlokas is only if the damage was caused as the thing was falling. They're not arguing about what happens afterwards. So they might ask, Abba la'achan nefila, my dear Hakel Potter. So according to Rabbi Loza's way of looking at it, are you telling me that if after it fell, somebody tripped over it, then everybody would agree he's Potter? For he could have Meir de Machayev. The mayor in the Mishnah says that he's chayav. We said that nishbara kadoi, that where his jug broke, veloy silka, and he didn't remove it, and that implies that he had time to remove it. And then Rameyer is machayav him. And Tosfos says, so what are you talking about over here? If he was machdir it after it fell with Shia, then Rameyer is machayav him. And if he wasn't makdir it, then how can the chachamim patur him? It's his responsibility. It belongs to him, so he has a chiyuv to remove it. So what do you mean? Divrei hakol chayev or ikra banan patri? Elamai. So what does Rabbi Elazar mean? B'shas nefila. What he means is af b'shas nefila. He means that they're arguing even when it's falling. Now the reason he has to say that, Rashi says, is because after all the Braisa doesn't clearly specify that. The Braisa just said nishbara kadev leisoka nuflag malav leihamida. It's not clear from the wording of the Braisa that it means that it caused damage as it's falling. You could understand when you first learned the Braisa, it sounded like the Pashtus. It means that he didn't remove it, and then later on somebody came and tripped over it. So now Rabbi Elazar wants to tell us that even if it's causing damage, b'shas nefila, then you still have the same machloikas, v'kamash malon k'dabaya, in which case Rabbi Elazar is telling us that he agrees with Abaya's answer, that they're arguing about the two cases, about b'shas nefila and la'acha nefila. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan omer la'acha nefila machloikas. Rabbi Yochanan says that the machloikas is only after it fell. So they're not arguing about what happens when he drops it. They're arguing only what happens when he didn't clean up the pieces afterwards. So they want to ask, so what are you telling me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if it caused damage when it's falling, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that everybody would agree he's potter? Why? Later on, in the perek, in connection with a later Mishnah in our perek, we have a case later on in Daf Lamed Aleph. We have where two potters are walking one after another in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and one of them trips and then the other one falls, and then one of them trips and then the second one trips over him. So the Mishnah says over there, the first one is chayev for the nezek to the second one because he himself effectively created a burr. And Rabbi Yochanan says over there,
obviously a mistake.
The whole thing was a mistake. So Rabbi Yochanan points out over there that even the chachamim who say that Nikolas lav pesheya, he could have stood up, but he didn't. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says that's reason enough to be mechayev. And we'll talk about on Daf Lamed Aleph details about that. Did he have time to stand up? Could he warn the other guy, etc.? Well, we'll get to that later on. The point is, though, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Rino of Amen Ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan Lakamon. Rabbi Yochanan says later on, Loi tema masnissin a mayor he dominitka for Shehu. Don't think the Mishnah is only according to the mayor. That Mishnah about the two potters is only according to the mayor that says nitka for Shea. No, he says you can make it work even according to the Chachamim because he should have stood up. Miklal did a mayor Machayev. So the implication is that a mayor is Machayev even at the time, because if we say the mayor says nitkal peshaya, then you chayev for everything that happens at the time of the takala, at the time when he trips, including that the jug injured somebody while it was falling. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say how can Rabbi Yochanan say that everybody agrees? Rabbi Yochanan seems to be implying, he says the machlokas is only la'acha nefila, implying that at the time of nefila everybody would patur him. But why? If Rabbi Yochanan holds nitka pesheya and Rabbi Yochanan clearly says that he agrees that Rabbi Yochanan holds nitka pesheya, well then you should be machayev him for what happens when it's falling as well. So the Gemara says, El Mai Dibra Hakol Chayev. Okay, so maybe the other way around. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan means everybody would agree if it caused damage while it's falling, then he's Chayev. And the Machlokas would be what happens afterwards. Is he Chayev if somebody trips over the broken pieces? The problem with that is, Vahomid Ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan, come on. Again, based on that same statement of Rabbi Yochanan further, Loi Tema Masnissin Ameyo Hidamon Nitka Pesheahu, he says, don't think the Mishnah is according to the mayor who says nitka pesheya mikal the patri rabbanim, implying that according to him the chachamim say that nitka is not pesheya. Well then, if the jug caused injury as it was falling, then he can't be mechayev because it was oinus. So one way or the other, how do we have Rabbi Yochanan implying that there's no machlokas b'shas nefila? Either way, if you say that everybody agrees it's potter, then that doesn't work with his understanding of a mayor. And if you say that everybody says it's chayev, then it doesn't work with his understanding of the chachamim. So Ella, Hok Mashmalon, rather what it must be, what Rabbi Yochanan means, he does agree that they're arguing in both cases. When he says La'acha Nefila Machloikas, he doesn't mean that they're only arguing La'acha Nefila. He holds they're arguing B'shas Nefila as well. Ella, Hok Mashmalon, what Rabbi Yochanan wants to inform us, the matu nechos the zok of the hocho the patir rabbanon the onusu. You know why the chachamim are patering him over here? Because to begin with, there was an onus by falling. Abu matu nezok of the alma, but in a more general case where he was going to be mafkir his nezokim that came that in general. So let's say, for example, he threw something out midas. Then mechayvi. Then the chachamim would make him chayiv. Then the chachamim would make him chayiv. Even though he was masculine. So in other words, then, so when Rabbi Yochanan says, la'achan afila machloikas, means they're arguing in a case, what is the case where the mayor and the chachamim argue, where there was a fall to begin with, we're fine, we have the argument, nitka pesheya who or not, the result of that is, what do we say afterwards, if he was masculine, then nezokim, or are we going to be mechayev him for it? Reb Meir says yes, because he says it doesn't matter that you were mafkir it. The fact is, the original falling of it was b'pshia, and therefore we can be mechayev you, not only for what happens at the time, but even afterwards, if you were mafkir it, still, it's considered as though you put it out there deliberately, because your nitkal was pesheya in the first place, and therefore it's considered as though you put them there deliberately, and you have a responsibility to clean them up, and if not, then you chayev. Reb Yehuda, the Chachamim, that is to say, would say that, look, since to begin with, the thing was an onus, nitkal pesheya, therefore, if he's mafkir it, you can't be mechayev him. But if he put it there deliberately in the first place, even the chachamim would agree that he's chayev. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says b'shas. That's what he says. La'achar nefila machloikas. The machloikas would be only about what happens la'achar nefila if he was mafkir it, where it was after nefila specifically. Because nefila, the point is, the stress in Rabbi Yochanan's point is not on the word la'achar versus lifnei, the stress is on the word nefila. Once you had a nefila, once he fell, do we consider that falling an oinus or not? Rabbi Meir holds no, Rabbi Yehuda holds yes, because of that, therefore, if he was mafkir then afterwards, what happens? Rabbi Meir says it doesn't matter that you were mafkir, you're still chayev, and Rabbi Yehuda would hold, look, since to begin with, the falling was an oinus, and now you're mafkir it, then therefore we have grounds to pater you because you didn't put it there deliberately in the first place. As opposed to, if you put it there deliberately in the first place, then even though you were mafkir it, Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayev. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's how we understand the machloikas. So again, he would say, if it caused damage as it was falling, yeah, then that's subject to the machloikas, Reb Meir and the Chachamim. But he's not really focusing on that. He's focusing more on what happens after it fell, if you were mafkir it. We have to look at, Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the circumstances under which it fell in the first place? Was it something that would be considered an onus, or was it something that not? So in a case of nitkal, then Reb Meir and the Chachamim are disagreeing, and then Reb Meir and the Chachamim are disagreeing whether that's called onus. Say, for example, in other words, it would seem based on that, Rabbi Yochanan would say, let's say we had the case before of the kankanim, of the jugs that you put on top of the roof to dry out, where they fell off the ruach mitzuyah, where even Reb Meir, we said before, agrees that that's an onus. So then if it was a complete onus, so then Reb Meir would be pattering you, it sounds like, according to Reb Yochanan, even if afterwards you didn't clean up the pieces, because to begin with it was an onus that they came there in the first place, and you're being mafkir them. So if he's not mafkir them, then he's chayiv regardless, because they're his. But if he's mafkir them, then it'll depend whether they fell ba'onus or whether they fell in something that's not an onus. That's the point that Rabbi Yochanan is making. Okay. So now a discussion on that point. Itmar, mafkir nezokov, when a person is mafkir something that's in Rishus Rabim, that belongs to him, and he's mafkir it. So now we're talking about a different case. Now we're talking about over there where he put it there deliberately, or b'pshia at least, where there was something careless of him in the first place that it got there. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue on that. Chad am a chayev, v'chad am a potter. One says he will be chayev to pay for it, and the other one says he's potter. Because the one who says he's chayev is going to say he's chayev because, after all, he put it there in the first place. And again, even if a bird doesn't belong to a person, he's chayev for it. So therefore, we can be chayev him for this. Whereas the other opinion holds he's potter because only when the bird is his mammon. And here the bird is not his mammon anymore because he was mafkir it. So The Gemara asks, "Leim amanda mechayev kada mayor amanda pasuk kada banan." It sounds like this is the exact machloekas of a mayor and the chachamim. And the Gemara says, "No, aliba did a mayor kula amalei pligi." Within Reb Meir's opinion, there's no machloekas because Reb Meir, sure, he holds that matkun is zakav yuchayev. In fact, different actually than what we said before. So Rashi makes the point over here that Reb Meir is machayev even when he's mafkin his zakav that came about to begin with through onus, for example, by a real onus like it falling off his roof. Reb Meir is going to patter him fine if it damages as it's falling because it's an onus, but he's still going to make him responsible to clean it up afterwards and be machayev him or not. How much more so if you put it there with Shia? So not like I was saying a minute ago, then it comes out according to Rashi, what I was saying was wrong. No, Reb Meir is going to be machayev him either way, even if he was mafkin it, even if it came there, but la'achon the fila machlokas, meaning as we said, after he fell and he didn't clean it up, then there would be the machlokas. Anyway, the point is that within Reb Meir's opinion, we're saying that no, everybody would agree that he's chayim. Ki pligi al liba de rabban machlokas Reb Yochanan and Reb Elazar is strictly within the opinion of the chacham. And Tosfos points out the Gemara knows that they're discussing over here a case where he put it there with Pshia and then he was mafkir. Therefore, we can't say that we're talking about where it came there to begin with by an onus, because we know to begin with that the scenario is that it came there with Pshia. So within the Chachamim's opinion, then they're arguing. Manda Potter Kerabanan. Between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar, the one who potters says strictly it's like the Rabbanan, not that. Umanda Machayev, the one who says it's Chayev, Amalach, he would tell you no, there's a difference. I'm not the Amri, I feel the Rabbanan. What I'm saying is even according to the Rabbanan, even though they're pottering in some cases, Ad Kam, like Potter Rabbanan, Elab Mafkin Nizakov, the Hocha, you know when the Chama pattering him, when he's Machdur and his Nizakim, in the case of our Mishnah, where there was an onus in the first place because he tripped, and the Chacham hold Nitka Lav for Shea, it's considered an onus, then you can patter him for leaving the pieces there and not cleaning them up. Ava Machdur Nizakim to Alma, but when it's a different case where he put them there deliberately and then was Machdur them, Machayvi, then this opinion would say that the Chachamim would agree he's Chachim. Okay. So between Reb Yochanan and what we said, Reb Yochanan and Reb Elazar, one of them holds this way, one of them holds that way. Which one holds which? So the Gemara says, Kistayim, we should be able to conclude that Reb Elazar who de'am chayev, that Reb Elazar would be the one who says that he's chayev, de'am Reb Elazar, mishum Reb Shmuel, because Reb Elazar says in the name of Reb Shmuel that, and again, we discussed before the machlokas of Reb Shmuel and Reb Akiva, whether in the case of a burr, it has to be that the burr belongs to you, or would you be chayev even if the burr doesn't belong to you? So Reb Shmuel says, there are two things that are not considered in a person's rishus. Yet the pasuk considers it as though they're in his rishus, and he's chayev for them. And the cases are ve'elohein bur rishus rabim. The first one is a bur in rishus rabim. So even though he doesn't own the bur because it's in rishus rabim, and he doesn't have any particular rishus over there. Nevertheless, the Torah is making him chayev for digging this bur and not covering it. The chometz mishesh shows on the mila, and the second one is chometz on Erev Pesach from 6 hours in the day and on. So if he didn't, so it's not in his rishus because it's also b'hana. Nevertheless, he's over on bal yirah bal yimatzah.
If you drop for
owning chometz, you're chayev bal yirah bal yimatzah for owning chometz on Pesach. If you own it and you didn't destroy it or sell it to a goy or what have you, then you're chayev. You're over on those two mitzvahs. So now Rabbi Elazar is saying, name Rabbi Shmuel, that even though you don't actually own that chometz in the sense that it's also b'hanah, the Torah tells you that you can't do anything with it, so how can it be considered yours? Nevertheless, it's yours to the extent that you're oivan bal yirah bal yimatzah. Same thing as the bur. Rashi and Tosfos, by the way, discuss in Psachim, are we talking, when we say mishesh shos l'maila, do we mean after the end of the sixth hour, which is when it's also d'araisa, or do we mean even during the sixth hour when it's also b'hanah, only d'rabban? Anyway. The point being, in other words, that so Rabbi Elazar is clearly saying that yes, even if the bird doesn't belong to him in the first place, then he's still chayev for digging it. So by the same token, Rabbi Elazar, on the face of it, is going to say that it doesn't matter whether mafkin nizakim, even if he was, so the same way, him being mafkin his nizakim doesn't exempt him because he had no right to put them there in the first place. So then in that case, he'd be the one who says that mafkin nizakim is chayev. So then Rabbi Yochanan would have to be the one who says it's potter. So the Gemara says Tisayim, okay, that is a solid proof. Although the Gemara is going to end up saying later on that it's not so. Usually when the Gemara says Tisayim, it usually means that's that. But here we have a rare example where it's not like that. Anyway, continues the Gemara though. Umi Omer Rabbi Elazar Hachi. Did Rabbi Elazar really say that? That if a person is mafkir something in Rosh Hasharabim, then you can be machayev him, even though he was mafkir it. But we find Rabbi Elazar says something the other way around. The Tanan, we learn in the next Mishnah, ha-hoifech ha-sagolol, on Lamed Amar Aleph, the Mishnah says, ha-hoifech ha-sagolol, if a person is turning, or two Mishnayos later, whatever, on the bottom of Lamed Amar Aleph, a person is turning over a piece of dung, a piece of animal waste, in Rosh Hasharabim, so you have not just one piece, but whatever, there's a whole bunch of it over there, and he moves it over there and intends to bring it someplace else. He wants to use it as fertilizer for his fields or whatever. And somebody else slips on it and gets injured or whatever. Chayev benizko, then he's chayev for the nezek of that other person, because the point is the bird was there already, but he was making a kinyan on it by moving. So therefore, now he's chayev. So the Omer Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar says on that, loishanu elishin iskaven lizkus behem. That's only when he actually intended to be zoicha in them by moving them.
Well, he says
but he hasn't yet moved it. He hasn't yet used it. He's moving it from one place to another in Rosh Hasharabim. Is he actually intending to be zoicha in it? Maybe, maybe not. Avol loishin iskaven lizkus behem. But if he's not yet meaning to be zoicha in them, potter, then Rabbi Elazar would say that he's potter because it's not his thing. Why he's touching it? Because he's thinking later on, maybe, but right now he's not planning to be Zorcha in it yet. Whatever. So Alma Mafkir Nezaka Potter. So we see from that if he's Mafkir in Nezakim, so even though in this case he did move them, so you could argue by moving them, he created a bird Rosh Hasharabim because he moved it from one place to another and somebody else tripped over there. Had he left it in the original place, the other person wouldn't have tripped over it. So we see that the Rabbi Elazar says there's a case where you can dig a bird Rosh Hasharabim in your potter and Mafkir Nezakim would be the same thing. What's the case? Why would we be mechayev bird Rosh Hasharabim? You never owned it in the first place. Well, Rabbi Elazar is saying the same thing over here. You never owned this golol in the first place. You haven't yet intended to be acquiring it. Therefore, you can be potter for moving it to someplace else. So we see that Rabbi Elazar holds that if you mach, that machka nezakim could be potter. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Ada ba'Ava sheikh zira l'mekayim. Rav Ada ba'Ava answers, what you're talking about is he moved it from one place to another, but then he moved it back to the original place. So then, in that case, if somebody trips over it over there, the other person can't say, look, it's your fault that it's here. He can say, I didn't put it here in the first place. I moved it someplace else. Yes, and if it happened to pass by then you wouldn't have tripped. But the fact is that right now it's back where I put it originally. I undid what I did before. Therefore, you can't be mechayev me. So that's not a contradiction to what Rabbi Elazar was saying before, where he put it there to begin with. And Amar Ravina, Moshal of Rav Ada Ba'Ava, Lamar Dover Dremer, what can we compare, according to Rav Ada Ba'Ava, what can we compare the situation to? Lamoitze Bur Megula B'chisahu, if somebody finds an uncovered burr, and he covers it, V'choza B'gilahu, and then he went uncovered it, so then he's potter, afterwards, things are back the way it was before. In other words, he wasn't Zoychen, by covering the burr, he's not Zoychen it.
But by picking it up, he's kind of the burr.
How did he pick up the burr? That's not a way to be koning. Maybe he's koning the cover, but he's not koning the burr. But anyway, the point is, therefore, so why? Because in other words, anybody who falls in there, he can tell them, look, this burr was there all along. I didn't change anything. Yeah. So that would be the explanation. But Amalei Mazut Rabbeid Ramari Laravina Midomi. How can you compare those two cases? Hosamoi Stalik Luhu Maisa Rishin. When you cover the burr, you haven't removed what the first one did. The burr is still there. It's just now covered. Hocha, but when you're moving the Glolim in Rosh Hashanah Aven, it's Stalak Lahu Ma'aserishin. The fact is, at the time you moved it, then what the first person did is completely removed, because now there's someplace else. When you put them over there, it's considered like you made a whole new thing. Holoi Dami, Ela L'moitze Bor Megula V'tomema. Rather, if you want to compare it to a case where a person finds an uncovered burr, and he fills it in, he fills it in with dirt, V'chazer V'chofra, and then he redigs a new burr where the old one was, D'istauk Olohu Maise Edition, V'kaim Olay B'lov Rishose. Now, there's no question, the first one's Maise is gone, and it's in his Rishus. If now an animal falls into that new burr, the second one, sure, it's for sure going to be chayim. So why in the case of the Golo would Rav Elazar be saying he's potter? So Ella Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says you're right. That answer of Rav Ada Ba'ava is not going to work. Rather, Rav Ashi says Kshahafel Pachas Mishloisha. Rather, we're talking about over here where he's rolling it along the ground. It's all within three tefachim. So therefore, he wasn't actually kone. He's picking it up. He's rolling it or whatever. But it's all within three tefachim of the ground. If you had picked it up three tefachim, then he would be zochen. The Rashba actually points out, Gois Ashri points out that actually if you moved it three tefachim away from where it was, that also could be considered a kinyan. But here he didn't do either. He didn't pick it up three tefachim, and he didn't Tosfos points out over here, by the way, that usually. The fact is, we have a case called Habotar Behefker Koni. If you look at something of Hefker, then sometimes you could say you're koine it just by observing it and saying, I plan to take this. But over here, Tosfos says that wouldn't necessarily apply over here.
When you have two people going on top of a gumball on one guy. But see his mind, that doesn't mean anything.
So Tosfos says, right, that usually you need lifting up three tefachim. Yeah. So actually what it is over here, habota behefker koni, and therefore you could say he's koneh even if he picks it up with less than three tefachim, but not necessarily. Anyway, the point is, sort of Ashi is saying that when he was moving at less than three tefachim, so therefore, Loinus Scaven Lizkos by, he wasn't intending to be Zoichene, and he didn't pick it up three tefachim, so therefore he's just moving it from its place, so therefore it still has its original Chazaka. When can you be Mechayev him? Only when he intended to be Koine. Well, the Gemara says, my Duchkid, Rav Elazar, well, in that case, what forces Rav Elazar to say that the case is where he picked it up less than three tefachim, and say that that's the case the Mishnah is talking about, but time at Dekina Skaven Lizkos by, and say that only because he intended to acquire it with that, therefore you can be mechayev liskus v'aloi, mechayev liskus v'aloi, and that if he doesn't have kavanah to be zoichen, then the Mishnah would actually patter him. What forces Rav Elazar to say that? After all, the Mishnah just says ha'hufach sagolol, and somebody else got injured by it, chayev v'nizkos. Wouldn't it be more straightforward? Loik malamayla mishloisha. Let Rav Elazar say that it's talking about he picked it up even above three tefachim. And he was the Afgabon Iskavan Liskos Bachayev. And it wouldn't matter, even though he did not intend to be Zoichen, he'd be Chayev because he removed it from its original place. So what are we saying? Rav Elazar is saying, why are we pattering him? Because even though he moved it, he wasn't intending to be, only when he intended to be Zoichen, then we can be Machayev him, even though he didn't move it from its original place. But why do we have to do that? Why isn't it more straightforward to say that even if he intended to be that, even if he did not intend to be Zoichen with it, doesn't matter how much he picked it up. Nevertheless, we're still Machayev. So Amar Rav Masnis and Krise. The reason is because Rav Elazar found the wording of the Mishnah difficult in that case. My Iriah Hofach. Why does the Mishnah use the expression that he turned it over? Listening via. The Mishnah should have instead used the word that he picked it up. The word hofach, he turned it over, implies that he didn't pick it up three tefachim. So then Rav Elazar is saying, so therefore the Mishnah of necessity is talking about where it's within three tefachim. So therefore we have to distinguish now whether he intended to be zochen. And if he intended to be zochen, then sure it's his and he's chayiv for it in zochen. But if he picked it up, but because the expression is hofach, which itself implies less than three tefachim, then therefore if he didn't intend to be zochen, then the Rav Elazar is going to say that taka he's potter The fact is, it's not his, and the fact is, he didn't really undo what the first one did because he didn't pick it up and he didn't move it enough to make a difference.
Why did he touch it for?
Why did he touch it? Because whatever the case he touched it for, we don't really care. But the point is, since he wasn't intending to be zeichen and he moved it less than three tefachim, then therefore Rabbi Elazar has reason to pater him. May as well continue. So what have we gotten to, therefore? So we said before that in Machloikas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan about the case of Mafkir Nizakov, we were saying to Stayim, we wanted to conclude that Rabbi Elazar says he's Chayev, we're Mafkir Nizakov. So as long as it belongs to him at one point, he's Mafkir it, then he's Chayev. Only in this case of the Golol, where he never owned it in the first place, then Rabbi Elazar would say that he's Potter. So let's continue. Umid Rabbi Elazar Amar Chayev, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Potter. Necessarily, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan must be the one who says he's Potter because he had a machlokas between them. The question is, Umiyomer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? V'hatnan, we learn in the next Mishnah, Hamatznias a koitz ves a schuchis. If a person buries a thorn, a sharp thorn, or a sharp splinter of wood, or a piece of glass in Rosh Hashanah, v'agoydu gidrei v'koitzim, or if a person makes a fence around his chotzer with thorn bushes, where the usual thing is to use stones, and instead he used thorn bushes, or the geder shenafel Rosh Hashanah, or if he has a stone fence that fell down in Rosh Hashanah, and somebody else got injured by it, chayev b'nizkar, then he's chayev for the nizakin of it. Now Rabbi Yochanan says, this is only talking about where the edges of the thorns to begin with were sticking out into Rosh Hashanah. But if he made sure that the ends of the thorns don't go past his property line, potter, then we would say he's potter when, in the case, in other words, we're talking about the case where he made the fence out of thorns. So Rabbi Yochanan was saying, if he made sure the thorns don't project beyond his property, then he's potter. So the question is, Mitzamtzim, my time of potter, why is he potter in the case of Mitzamtzim? Lav Mishum Dehavilei Bor Rishusay. On the face of it, the reason is because the bor that's in his Rishus, because his potter is his Rishus. Miklal Dechiyuv Dehbor Rishus Adamim Hu. Implying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is going to be mechayev him for a bor b'rishus harabim, for any bor b'rishus harabim, even if it's not his, alma mafkir nizakov chayev. So you see that if a person is mafkir his nizakin, then he's chayev. Because Rabbi Yochanan is saying, only because he made sure that the thorns don't project beyond his property line, therefore he's potter. But if not, then he would have been chayev. Because now it's not a burger shusa, implying any time you make a burger shusa rabim, whether you own it or not, then you chayim. So that means mafkin nizakov, you'd be chayim. So the Gemara says, no, lo, mafkin nizakov potter. You know, you could say Rabbi Yochanan says that he's potter, which would fit with our understanding of the machlokas between him and Rabbi Elazar before. Mitzamtzim, my time of potter, you know what, umitzamtzim, my time of potter, you know why he's potter when he's mitzamtzim. Not so much because it's in his property. Mishum de itman Allah, because you should know, there was explained on that. Omer of Acha Breder of Ika, Lefishayin Darkan Shon Shobnei Adam Leishakat Buksalin, because people don't usually rub against the walls. People don't usually walk so close as it is to walls that are next to Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, if a person walks that close where the thorns injure him, then it's his problem, and the owner of the fence is not chayim for that. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan can say, if he makes sure that the thorns stay within his Rishus, if somebody chooses to walk right by the edge of Rishus Rabim and gets snagged on it, that's his problem.
Leaning against the fence is load.
Leaning against the fence is something else. You were talking about somebody walking by.
Okay,
if he leans against the fence, he'll notice that it's a stone fence, and he'll realize this is a thorn fence, and he'll realize this is not a place for me to adjust my load. Let me go to the next fence.
Yeah.
Okay. So that din is not a contradiction on what we said that Rabbi Yochanan would say that he's potter, that we're assuming Rabbi Yochanan would say that he's potter for a bor in Rosh Hashanah if he was mafkir nizakov. But the Gemara asks still, miyomer Rabbi Yochanan hachi, we have another problem. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that mafkir nizakov is potter? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam nishna. He says the halacha is like a stam nishna. Utnan, and we have a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Hachoyf a burger shosarabim v'nachol osecha sherech hamaru meschayim. Person digs a burger shosarabim, and an ox or a donkey falls into it and dies. Then he's chayim. So, meaning, in other words, we're not talking about like we said before that the case is he dug the burr in his rishus, and then he was mafkir the rishus and not mafkir the burr. No, the Mishnah says flat out he dug in the rishus harabim, then he's chayim, even though the burr never belonged to him. and Rabbi Yochanan holds halachic to Stam Mishnah. Therefore, he has to hold that any bur you're chayav for, even if you never owned the bur in the first place, applying that to Machir Nezakav, that would mean that Machir Nezakav is chayav, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Ela lo olam Rabbi Yochanan om chayav. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to say that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that he's chayav. And umid Rabbi Yochanan om chayav, Rabbi Lazar om potter, in which case that would imply that Rabbi Lazar is the one who says that he's potter. Now, the problem is, we said, Va'amr Rabbi Lazar mishum Rabbi Shmuel cholo. Didn't we say that he quoted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel about that a bur is not in the person's rishus, and yet the Torah considers it as if he is in his rishus, which we said before means that Rabbi Lazar hold chometz of Pesach, chometz on Sheish Shos Lamaila, and a bur rishus rabbin. And the implication is that we're saying that you chayav for the bur, even though you never owned it in the first place, which was what led us to say that Rabbi Lazar is the one who says that that you chayev for a bur even if you never owned it in the first place. And the answer is loy kasha hodigay hodirabe. There's a difference. Before, Rabbi Lazar was quoting in the name of Rabbi Shmuel to explain Rabbi Shmuel's shitta. He himself disagrees with that shitta, and he holds you can be chayev for a bur only if you own it in the first place. So therefore, he would say machken nezakav, then you potter because you don't own it anymore. So after all, we don't have to say, like we said before, for example, about the Hoifach HaSagolo. We don't have to say that we're talking about that it was within three Tfachim and all of that. We can say Rabbi Lazar would say that that in all cases, even if he picked it up less than three Tfachim or rolled it or whatever, we're still going to be Machayev him because he would say that Machir Nezakav is still Chayev. He would say Machir Nezakav is Potter. So the only way to be mechayev him would actually be if he actually intended to be zoichen. If he just moved it, if he moved it with the gullah, if he moved it without intention to be zoichen it. If he picked it up three tvachim, then he's koineh it right there. If he picked it up within three tvachim, then we would say he wasn't koineh it in the first place, and therefore we would say he's potter because Rebbe Lazar holds machken nezakav as potter in Rishas Rabbah. Rabbi Yochanan, meanwhile, would hold his chayev, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan would say there's no distinction in that. Either way, he's chayev for moving it. And Tosfos adds, Rabbi Yochanan would still say, "Ein dafkan shomer adam l'shachat puksalim," because Rabbi Yochanan wants to say that his the din about the thorn fence is going to apply according to both opinions. But Rabbi Yochanan himself would actually hold that maybe even, again, since he says that he's chayev, if mafkin azakav, that would mean Rabbi Yochanan would hold that even if you dug a bur in your own rishus, and then you were mafkin the rishus and not mafkin the bur, you would in fact be chayev. Rabbi Yochanan actually says that you have that opinion later on in the Masechta, which we've touched on a couple of times. So Tosfos says Rabbi Yochanan would agree with that opinion and be mechayev him even in that case. So in the case of the thorn fence, yes, Rabbi Yochanan, it comes out, would be mechayev him even if it is completely on his property because it's too close to Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yochanan would patter him only because in Davkan Shemad Adam is Chakat Puxalim, only because people don't normally rub against walls. Were it not for that consideration, Rabbi Yochanan would have been mechayev him. Okay, sure enough, everyone.